When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. I want to start this episode off with a very important question.
I got you.
What's your favorite color?
So I vary. I'm one of those that can never really decide exactly what I liked, but I went from yellow to red to purple.
Within the space of how much time?
I want to say, so that always interchanges. It's according to the day.
Okay, so yeah, you like switch out.
I do, and those are the three that I usually go back to, but every now and then the royal blue will come in, but typically it's those three.
Okay.
About you. What is your favorite color?
Mine is green, but it's very closely followed by blue.
Okay.
Very closely followed by blue. I remember that question where it I used to do this thing. I've probably done it to you because I do it every time I'm tipsy, where I ask like a series of questions and then I tell you what the questions really mean.
And I don't think you've done that with me.
Oh, I'll do it.
Oh, sweet.
And I'll tell you all about yourself.
Wait, I thought... You've hung out so many times when you were tipsy. Maybe it was just
It's a specific
singing.
Mood.
Oh, okay.
But one of the questions is, imagine you're in a room and it's different shades of your favorite color. How do you feel?
Oh, it's according to that color.
So it would change based on the color?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, then my test is out the window, but it's also a silly test. But
why? What would it have meant?
So for me, when I think of a room in various shades of my favorite color, I feel anxious and uncomfortable, and it's supposed to represent your state of mind.
Oh, I got you.
Because if you're in a good state of mind, your favorite color will calm you down, or you'll feel nice and happy. This is all nonsense, by the way. There's no actual thing behind it.
So one of my offices, I got to paint it, and I painted it yellow, and I meant to do it like in a pale, like calming, not over the top, but it was so bright that I had to keep the light off. I didn't realize it was going to be that bright. I was also next to like two windows, so it wasn't awful, but it was just so bright. I was like, yeah, I'm not happy enough for this right now. I can't handle this right now. And I would just turn it off and just sit in darkness. And the yellow glow of
that feels about right.
No? Yeah? Okay.
Color psychology is fascinating. My little brother's room when he was growing up was... bright yellow, and then red at one point. I always thought that was kind of weird, and mine was like a melancholy blue, I would call it. My older brother's was white, just white.
Right. I was going to say, I think my parents kept my room when I was growing up a mauve or a cream color. Very 70s.
Yeah.
Very 70s, like, because, you know, avocado green was my bathroom color, so it was very, very
70s.
So for girls, it had to be mauve and cream.
Mauve.
Yes.
Well, today we are talking about a very specific color, and that is red.
Red, my other favorite color.
That's right. And a long time ago when I was the video producer for this very show, we did a video about the power of red and why is red kind of this sexy, dangerous power color.
Right.
We didn't do a podcast on it, so
ooh,
here it is.
Boom.
And it's inspired partly by The Woman in Red from The Matrix, which I just rewatched within the past 2 days.
Oh, wow.
For the first time in many, many years. Held up. Sad what happened to it, but held up.
Right. Look, I've watched it, like, I think I watch it every 2 years,
mm-hmm.
just on instinct. I just keep watching it because it was one of, it came out, I think, my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. I know that dates me, so shut up. But it was our group. It was our favorite movie. We would watch it
yes.
all the time and quote it all the time,
yes.
which is so ridiculous because, of course, none of us are as cool as monotone Keanu Reeves.
Of course.
Which I love Keanu Reeves. If you're listening to this, come say hey to me.
Well, similar to my Ryan Gosling thing, I was on that train before he became super trendy.
Yeah, you and I had a debate and you won every bit of it.
Yes. I took a picture, one of those Polaroid like printout pictures of me with Keanu Reeves in the background.
Right.
That's how terrible my crush was on him.
Wow.
And from The Matrix. And then I won't say what the email address was, but I have a very embarrassing, my first email address.
Can you at least give us the beginning? Just a little bit.
It has Angel in it.
Oh, no.
You can probably guess it from there. But anyway, it was my favorite movie as well. And this is an accidental, or being accidentally timely.
Right.
Because they just announced that the fourth movie, there's going to be a fourth movie. The original actors.
Wait, of The Matrix?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
The third one was so bad.
Well,
that I scrubbed it from my memories. That's how bad.
Super producer Andrew and I were just talking about that. He hasn't even seen it.
At all? The first one?
The second, third one.
Okay.
So they just announced that. And then also it's the 20th anniversary of The Matrix. But anyway,
all right.
A part of The Matrix is this woman in red, the
right.
simulated character, that mouse, who's the youngest character in their little crew. He designed it, her. It's complicated to talk about this movie if you haven't seen it, but we'll try. He designed her and is obsessed with her, and her presence is used as a distraction during the agent training program. So the agents are bad.
Right.
The training program is a simulation where they take in Neo, Keanu Reeves.
Right.
Like, look at, the agent can take over anybody, even this sexy lady in a red dress.
And she's not real.
No, she's not real.
Your reality is not real. That's kind of the basis of the movie.
Yeah. That the reality is not real.
Yep.
And this woman in red is very flirty. She's got like big bouncy blonde hair, very sexual, and she stands in stark contrast to the rest of the crowd who are kind of in neutral black,
gray.
Yeah. Neo stops to take her in, looks away, and Morpheus says, "Look again." And Neo turns back to have an agent pointing a gun in his face. So it's a very kind of iconic. He just calls her like, were you paying attention or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then if we look at Battlestar Galactica 6, she's a pretty big example of someone wearing red that's iconic and very in contrast to everyone else. And she's also very sexual. I believe, it's been a long time since I've seen that show, but I believe she often used sexuality as her power.
Okay, I've never seen that show.
Well, I believe that is true. The lady in The Sixth Sense that killed her stepdaughter, spoiler alerts, also why wear red to a funeral. That's very suspicious.
Oh.
Yeah. And then that rabbit lady.
Are you talking about Jessica Rabbit, who, by the way, is not a rabbit? I just to clarify.
Yes.
She's not a rabbit.
Okay.
In this cartoon movie hybrid. Which I love. I've talked a lot about Roger Rabbit in the last 2 weeks, I feel like. Well, between like talking about the dance to talking about people were dressing up as that when we were at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, look, that's Jessica Rabbit. And you're like, where?
Samantha will challenge you to the Roger Rabbit dance, which I didn't know was a thing. But
yeah, I tried to get a couple people to do it. A couple people did do it for me.
You succeeded.
I did. I feel like I won that one.
I think you did too. And also on a personal level, I have a red dress that when I wear it, nearly everyone brings it up, and not in like a creepy way always. They're just kind of like, oh, look at that red dress. And some mention, there's somebody in the office who's always like, the woman in red from The Matrix.
Yeah.
I mean, since we were talking about clowns recently, I thought about the red balloon in It.
Right, and that's really significant because it's floating around randomly as a taunting.
Yeah, and that's not, of the examples we've given, most of these have been sexy, but that is an example of a frightening, the power of red and the danger of red, which we're also going to be talking about. Wanted to note, this is not inspired by the movie The Same Name that I did not know existed until we did this research, which has Gildna Radner and that dude.
Good job.
That she's married. She was married to.
Gildna Radner was married.
Willy Wonka. Gene Wilder.
Gene. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was seemed to be universally panned. Don't want to call out the movie. I'd never seen it, but that was the consensus I got. And one time when I was wearing that red dress, somebody told me I looked like Jennifer Aniston. I about died. I think that's the best celebrity comparison I've ever gotten.
Did she wear a red dress? I don't remember this.
I think she wore one at some Oscar thing or some award ceremony.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
I know that Jessica Chastain just recently wore red to an awards thing and people were dying over it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, of course. She's beautiful and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And whatever.
Whatever. Not whatever. Better.
All right. So as far as color psychology goes, red has a lot going on for it, perhaps more than any other color. If you think about sayings like red herring, red flag, red handed, red ink, red pill, paint the town red, seeing red, red carpet, red shirt, scarlet woman, the whore of Babylon, by the way, scarlet letter, the red apple, red stoplights, red stop signs, red, red light district. I've got red in my ledger.
I knew you were going to throw that in there.
You know I
have to. I knew you were going to throw that in there.
You know I have to. It's in my contract as a human person. And I wanted to include this from the Bible about the whore of Babylon. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Indeed.
That's a revelation. I don't know.
And I did want to include here, because we're not really talking about this today, but past hosts Chris and Caroline did do an episode on redheads and the stereotypes around them, if you want to search that out.
Yeah, one of the things that says redhead stepchild, so I'm assuming there's a lot of connotations to both being a redhead and just red in general.
Yeah, and I feel like redheads are frequently sexualized.
Yes, they probably are, as I've seen them all throughout Supernatural. Whatever. According to Google, red is the first color humans perceive after white and black, and is the first color babies see. And for many, it's still used as a symbol of love. So I think that's fairly significant.
Oh, absolutely. The power of red has a long history. Women in ancient Africa used red ochre to represent fertility. Hunters from the Stone Age used red clay as a body paint. And in the Paleolithic period, the dead were buried with red powder, the belief being it warded off evil spirits, or maybe for the smell, or maybe for both, hard to say. Red is seen as good luck in China. And historically, ancient emperors believed it was a royal color, the fire element. Chinese brides wear red to weddings. In ancient Roman times, brides wore red shawls to symbolize fidelity and love. When Christianity came along, Christians associated red with the blood of Christ. Royalty wore the color to emphasize that their rule was ordained by God. Reportedly, several of these royals forbade the common folk from wearing red due to the high cost of the dye. So it became associated with the rich. Right. Charlemagne and Louis XIV and their red shoes, for instance.
Right.
In situations where people challenge the status quo, like revolutions, revolutionaries frequently adopt red too. French Revolution, great example. In Burkina Faso, it's a sign of bad luck, though, and death, so it's not always.
Right, and I thought it was fascinating about the Chinese idea behind red and that it was the fire element, but also I love the fact that the leadership used it in their robes. I think it's like 11 out of the 13 rulers or whatever actually used that as part of their sign of leadership and aggression. And of course, both could be good or bad.
It could be. In nature, red has all kinds of meanings. It can signal danger when it comes to blood. It could signal warmth of a fire, the setting of the sun, the ripeness or toxicity of certain berries. Humans flush when angry, embarrassed, or turned on. It's a color associated with fertility, like think The Handmaid's Tale. A study looking into male rhesus macaw monkeys found that they avoid red or act submissively in its presence. And among mandrill monkeys, the one with the reddest face is the most dominant. You do not mess with that one. In bullfighting, the bull is taunted by a red cape. And there has been a surprising amount of research on the power of red, and it's found that red is big in three main areas: sex, achievement, and dominance. So let's talk about sex.
Yeah, you know, I like that. So wearing red is from allure. Red is not a color you wear when you're feeling shy. You swipe on red lipstick or put on a red dress when you want to be noticed. It's sexy but assertive, not demure. After all, it's also the color of stop signs or of anger or extreme heat. I have to say, I'm wearing my red lipstick right now in honor of this episode.
I'm wearing my red lipstick,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we are. We're rocking it on today just because it's like, yeah, I love, and I'll talk a little more about it, but the idea of coming to wear red, it took me a long time to actually step up to being like, yeah, I can pull this off.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like, I feel good. I feel sassy. Let's do this.
It's an attention grabber for sure. And before we get into red and sex and love and all of that stuff too in depth, we're going to pause for a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So if you think about pink, pink is frequently used to symbolize love. And red is too, but I feel like red has a more sexual, lustful overtone. Red lipstick, red nails, red heels, red dress, red roses. Studies have found that men rate women in red as more attractive, desirable, and sexually available. And it goes both ways. Women reported finding men in red more attractive. According to a 2012 study, waitresses in red received 15 to 26% higher tips because they were perceived as better looking. A 2016 study did not bear out the link between the color red and sex. So More research is needed.
I will say I do rock this red lipstick we were just talking about, as well as usually a red shirt when I'm bartending to get more tips. And even if it just boosts my confidence a bit more, it makes me feel a little more lively. But I do feel like I get a little better tips.
Well, there we go. Anecdotal example. Another study found female hitchhikers wearing red had a better chance of getting a ride. Another interesting study found that when judges looked at mugshots, even though they couldn't see the color in the photos because they're black and white, they rated people wearing red more highly. Researchers speculate that is because the people wearing red held themselves more confidently or in a more sexual position. It's fascinating. A study from 2014 found that women viewed other women in red dresses as more threatening, promiscuous, and fair game for insults. Women were more prepared to financially punish the woman in red as compared to men. However, a lot of that had to do with the shape, fit, and sexiness of the dress. If it was sort of more conservative red dress, the judgment wasn't as harsh.
Right.
One survey found that more reported choosing to wear red for a date. More women reported choosing to wear red for a date as opposed to non-date situations. Researchers found that women wearing red lipstick are more likely to be approached at a bar compared to other colors of lipstick or no lipstick at all. The heightened contrast helps draw more attention to, I know we've talked about makeup theory on this show before. Makeup theory, that's fun. But it's
that's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. It draws attention to, you know, your sexualized features.
Right.
Yeah. Well, not all of them are sexualized, but, you know. One of my relatives once told me, only prostitutes wore red lipstick.
You know, I've had weird comments like that to me, too. I think I do rock a lot of the red lipstick, and it becomes... It became a thing for me about 6 or 7 years ago after telling so many people I couldn't pull it off. And what I actually meant was that I didn't feel comfortable enough in wearing it because it felt like I was trying to get attention.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's bad, right?
Terrible.
So bad. But then it kind of became a thing for me as a, hey, I'm feeling sassy. Mess with me at your own risk. Mm-hmm. And it kind of became part of my personality. Even at my actual job as a social worker, people know me by my red lipstick. And if I'm not wearing it, they'll be like, what's wrong? That's the first thing they ask me. I'm going, what? And they automatically like, oh, she's sassy. She's ready to go today. And I'm like, okay, that's how you perceive me because I'm wearing a weird color, a different shade of lipstick. Cool. Mm-hmm. And having said that, there's also a seemingly weird reaction from people who've decided that red is sexual.
Yeah.
And for someone who wears it, it's wearing their sexuality on their lips.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I get it. There's a lot of connotations with lips and sexuality in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like my lips. I have thicker, fuller lips than some. But even to the point that the advice articles argue over whether wearing red lipstick is a negative or positive for job interviews. And I found that fascinating.
Yeah.
A few hundred years ago, red lipstick was banned by Parliament as witchcraft.
Ooh. Time to practice some witchcraft.
Right, let's put on that red lipstick. I mean, obviously. And I think it's really interesting when I was reading through several of these articles about how many women had to make a bold decision to wear red lipstick and how life-changing it was and how many felt they just couldn't pull it off. Mm-hmm. And once again, that was one of the things I've said and one of the things many people have said to me, just because it's such a different look to actually see yourself in a highlighted manner, I guess.
Yeah, contrasting.
Yeah. I found that fascinating.
Yeah, there are a lot of articles out there about when to wear red in work situations, and we'll get into a little bit of that. Another study from 2012 found that women who wore red in their profile pictures on dating apps or sites were more likely to report interest in casual sex. Similarly, another study found that sites with a bigger focus on hookups and casual sex featured more women wearing red. And I just think it's interesting that red is both the color of love and the color of hate.
Right.
Cupid and the devil. The results of one test seem to suggest that the presence of red may intensify the experience of pain. Mm-hmm. It's also pretty interesting. If we look at achievement, research shows that even a flash of the color red before performance or test can induce avoidance and worse performance, probably because of its associations with mistakes and failures.
Yeah, I know many teachers that have gone from red pens to blue pens because of the many conversations about whether red pens were too demeaning and psychologically damaging.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a lot of back and forth of the validity of the idea, and research seems to be, of course, inconclusive.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of teachers being interpreted as being mean or too harsh as well as the fact that if they grade in red, they're more not likely to give a negative mark on their own perception. So it seemed kind of an interesting aspect. But I know, like I said, my sister, who is a teacher, oftentimes won't use red anymore. It's all blue ink.
That is interesting. My dad was a college professor, and he had a red rubber stamp that said rubbish.
See, right there. So demeaning.
He was like a super nice teacher, but I think that was when, it was clearly put in no effort.
Right.
There's like, it's just a blank page. You put rubbish.
Pretty much just a Wikipedia page on there.
Mm-hmm. Compared to white or blue chips when you're gambling, people tend to bet more with red chips. Yet other studies have found that wearing red can boost your confidence and productivity. And red is found to be the color of dominance as well. Researchers reached that conclusion after analyzing athletes in the 2004 Olympics. And the finding was especially true in close contact sports. A 2015 study found that people associated wearing red with being aggressive and angry. And there is another study into sports that came before this one, I think specifically wrestling, found similar stuff. I will say, as an actor, I have been advised not to wear red in auditions because it is too aggressive. But in other business settings, red is a power color. Think of the red power tie. Oh my gosh, this comes up an embarrassing amount in our politics.
Right.
The red tie versus the blue tie.
Right. Brown suit versus the black suit.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about the power of red in advertising. You can just look at how many products and corporations use red and countries that use red in their flags. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of you have also heard that driving red sports cars drives up your insurance. But from what I understand, this is more of an urban legend, but still telling of how we perceive red.
And I think I've heard that a lot of times you're more likely to be pulled over for having a red car.
And now we want to talk about some media.
Ooh.
But first, we're going to pause for one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. When we're talking about red in our media, things do get a little more interesting. There are plenty of sexy, lustful examples, but also things get more complicated when you consider how red is often the villain's color. Although right. the villain can also, and often is, if it's a woman, be sexual.
Right.
The red lightsaber as the color for the Sith. And yes, everyone's freaking out right now because the new trailer came out and Rey has double red lightsaber. What does it mean? Accidentally timely again.
Oh, okay.
The evil Jedi.
You know, I've never watched any of those.
The evil Jedi has a red lightsaber.
Oh, okay.
Some historians think that this association with red and evil might be leftover animosity towards the red uniforms of the British during the American Revolutionary War or from the Red Scare and the Cold War, both mm-hmm. probably also just with that anger and blood, those kind of associations.
Right.
Yeah, if you look at Jafar, Cruella de Vil, the Queen of Hearts, Mother Gothel, Professor Radigan, Gaston, Captain Hook, the Thief and the Cobbler, the villains in those, Anger and Inside Out, not really a villain, but he's red. He's
yeah.
angry.
Yes.
In film, a lot of red is often meant to be unsettling, a signal that something bad is about to happen, like in 2001, A Space Odyssey, or Ex Machina, or The Descent.
Right.
But often inverted, too. Her is given an example of red being less of a menacing color and more of a positive color. I kept thinking while we were doing this, I've never heard this song, Lady in Red.
Lady in Red. Yeah, okay, I know.
Well, but I have seen the SNL skit
no.
where Kristen Wiig is, she's not Hoda. She's Kathy Lee Gifford. I don't know. She's a talk show host, and she sings Lady No Red to make fun of her co-host.
I missed that one.
Yeah. Moulin Rouge, mm-hmm. 6 again, from Battlestar Galactica. Even if you haven't seen this show, you've probably seen images of her. Tall, thin, white woman with blonde hair, striking high contrast red dress. And yeah, it's, I believe, spoiler alert, they're Cylons who use seduction to get what they want. And that probably makes no sense to anyone who hasn't seen that show. Basically, they're robots.
Yeah, I kind of understood what Cylons.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to be inclusive to anyone.
Thank you. But outside of that, I would not know. You are right.
I try. that red dress, by the way, sold for $23,000.
Really?
Yeah. Red Riding Hood, The Spellbinding Adventures of Sabrina. I feel like they use a lot of red in that show, especially in like a high contrast because most of it's very dark. And then you have this pretty bright blood color red. Color theory in Harry Potter. Red is bravery, courage, and recklessness. Mm-hmm. Schindler's List, The Shining.
Yeah, actually. And Kill Bill, which has an entire scene in black and white where she's fighting the entire mm-hmm. Japanese mob, essentially, and it flicks back on real quick, and you see the massive bloody spectacle. Mm-hmm. American Beauty, they use that with the idea of the young temptress.
Right.
Sin City actually uses it, much like Schindler's List.
Yeah.
Pleasantville does it. It was very on the nose about sin and liveliness yeah. and colorful life as well.
Yeah, and superheroes.
Of course.
Of course. You got Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Spider-Man, Black Widow with her hair, but also her belt, too.
She's blonde Marvel. Sometimes, though.
Yeah, well, that was her disguise.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
Clearly, if you dye Obviously. Your very eye-catching hair a blonde color.
Much better.
Then you can gotcha. Blend in. That's also why Captain America grew a beard. Get with it, Samantha. Okoye from Black Panther, Ant-Man, the Wasp, Star-Lord, Doctor Strange. Also, heroes clearly just want a redhead because there's Mary Jane,
right.
Pepper Potts, April from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yeah.
Jean Grey, Black Widow.
Yeah, the redhead, Femme Fatale. That's kind of the theme yeah. for many, 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 many
yes.
movies. That's like bad versus evil. No, good versus evil.
Bad versus worse.
That's that movie. But yeah, it feels like that's a huge, like, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Little Mermaid. The one.
The Little Mermaid, yeah.
And with the media, I thought, looking through art, because we already talked about some of the dyes that they used and some types of minerals, but there's a lot of theory and ideas about the power and appeal of red in art, as in fact, it seems artwork that is in red get higher bids than any other color types. The origins and history is fascinating for sure, from the use of it in the cave paintings to the lead paint used by Van Gogh, and the cost in the history is really extensive. They even used a specific red mineral, as you talked about earlier, to smear on victorious gladiators to parade throughout the village, mm-hmm. which I thought was weird. And much like media, red is a heavy symbol within many works of art. The idea of many deep, dark red is the thought to once again represent anger and rage, while the lighter versions are thought of as love and femininity.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
I suppose.
I guess.
Valentine's Day tells me so.
So many things.
Just red and deep, pink for all
everything,
I can see.
Everything. But the deep, dark red is passion.
Yes.
And the lighter reds were all true love.
Yes.
Maybe. Anger and passion, I guess, was right there.
Yeah, that's true. And I did want to include some other stuff before we have our closing arguments on red. We have talked before about the Red Dress Project in our Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women episode. The Red Dress Project uses red dresses to memorialize the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada. And then there's red, mm-hmm. AIDS awareness in Africa.
Yeah, and there's also Go Red for Women, the American Heart Association's theme to raise awareness for women and heart disease.
Mm-hmm. So red is a powerful color, and I feel, especially for women, when you choose to wear red, there are all of these assumptions put on you for that. And it does branch out into both social life when it comes to dating or not even dating, but people think maybe, oh, right. Sexually available. And then in our media from the messages we receive about what this color means. And then that kind of trickles out into our work lives because, as we said, there are so many articles out there about when wearing red is good and when it is not
right.
in a professional setting. And it seems most everything I read said about red, it's a statement, it's a bold, like, it's a choice. You're looking, people are going to notice it, and so you shouldn't wear it. I don't know if this is true, but it said unless you want to make a real mark, if you have, like, a big presentation about a project that you're working on, yes. But otherwise.
Right.
But that's so fascinating that we have all of this.
Rules?
These rules tied up with red, and right. Especially with women wearing red.
It's a powerful thing, apparently. Red is dynamic, mm-hmm. eye-catching, third most noticeable color. So I guess it does say some things.
It does say some things.
Like, and I like red.
I don't. I know it says this is a power color, and you will hear me, damn it.
I'm sassy. Bring it.
Yeah.
That's what it says about me.
There we go. Well, that's what we have to say about the power of red. But we would love to hear any stories you have.
Red.
Oh, no. Nope. I apologize.
Okay.
It's
you
stuck
did
in
this.
Everybody's head now.
You did this.
I feel like every episode we
do something along
some
those lines.
Some terrible song. Well,
I'm
I don't
sorry.
Know it's terrible, but it'll be stuck in your head and that will be terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's too late.
It's
and
in
we
my
can't
head.
Edit. So
no, we don't know how to edit things. No. Andrew's not here for any good reason.
Just to give us weird looks.
Which is fair.
Yes, totally fair. Yes, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Andrew Howard.
Andrew.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Cha-cha!
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.